Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of times Jesus will tell us things not to do. A lot of times Jesus will tell us things to do. Sometimes Jesus tells you who you are, like blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. Today, Jesus talks about what we would call evidence. Evidence. And it's a courtroom term. And in the courtroom, evidence often tells people who you are. I think none of you that I'm aware are criminals, but you are a lot of things. One of the things you are, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. The evidence does not make you who you are. The evidence does not make you who you are. The evidence is an indication of who you in fact are. Your Chicago Bears and St. Louis Cardinals paraphernalia is not what makes you a fan. You wear that stuff because you are a fan. It's evidence. The good works that Christians do, that's not what makes us Christians. We do good works because we are Christians, and those good works are evidence of our Christianity, more or less. When I do the laundry, I separate things twice. I separate the darks, the lights, the whites, and I still do the reds separately, probably don't have to. Not that the reds or darks or lights or whites are better than the rest. And then I separate the clothing of each person in the family, fold it, deliver it to the proper room. And when I harvest vegetables or fruit, some are better, actually, than the rest. And not all fruits and vegetables make the cut. Sometimes people separate animals from other animals. And that's what's going on here, and there's nothing wrong with goats. There's nothing wrong with goats. Goats, like all animals, were created by God. Like all animals, goats were put here by God to serve his highest creation, man. I drink their milk. In Old Testament times, goats were offered as sacrifices. And on the Day of Atonement, the scapegoat symbolically carried the sins of the people into the world, into the wilderness. Pagans, to be sure, worshipped goats. But they worshipped anything that moves or doesn't. The bucks, I understand, they're a bit randy and they smell bad, and there's a reason for that. But the main problem with goats is that they aren't sheep. They aren't sheep. And this idea of the Lord as a shepherd is a very common theme in the Old Testament, including, did you notice that reading from Ezekiel today where God is portrayed as a shepherd who goes out in search of his lost sheep? Not goats. Not goats. And the shepherd will care for the sheep, not the goats, making sure that they have food and water, protecting them from all predators. A goat herd is the word used for a person who keeps and herds goats. In the Old Testament, God never calls himself a goat herd. So when Jesus came along and called himself the Good Shepherd, he was treading on familiar metaphorical ground. A metaphor is a comparison, not using like or as. She is an open book. He's going to bite the bullet. I am the door. I am the gate. You are salt, but you're not actually salt, are you? In telling of the judgment day, you are not actually sheep, and they are not actually goats. The Son of Man who will judge all people on that day, the Son of Man is actually Jesus. And you remember when Jesus told that parable about the wheat, the weeds, and the grain, probably wheat and the darnel weed going together. Workers wanted to separate the weeds from the wheat. Now, And the farmer said, don't do that. You'll take out the good with the bad. Wait until the harvest. Well, it's time. At the beginning of Matthew 24, they asked him that question about this day. What will be the signs? How will we know that the time is getting close? How will we know when it's actually here? You'll know. As for the timing, pretty soon. Pretty soon. And when the time is here, the metaphor is a harvest. It's not a secret, the harvest. It would be pretty hard to keep that. Hey, Iowa, don't tell anybody that we're harvesting corn over here. We want to keep it a secret. When the time comes, you're going to know it. And the Bible talks about things like a trumpet blast, darkened sky, a bunch of stars falling from the sky, and you'll see angels climb into their combines and go out into the field. Then comes the parable of the 10 maidens. Be ready, keep your lamps full of oil. I know none of you even own an oil lamp. But during that time of waiting in readiness, go ahead and use the gifts and talents that God has given you to do things. Serve God, serve your neighbor with those gifts and talents in your various vocations. And this scene before us today, the one that will play out on the last day, there's no mistaking what's at stake here, is there? Matthew Henry commentary says, there is a judgment to come in which every man shall be sentenced to a state of everlasting happiness or misery. Christ shall come not only in the glory of his Father, but in his own glory as mediator. The wicked and godly here dwell together in the same cities, churches, families, and are not always to be known the one from the other. Such are the weaknesses of the saints, such the hypocrisies of sinners, and death takes both, but in that day they will be parted forever. Let's talk about pronouns, shall we? Popular topic, pronouns. Let's talk about pronouns. The pronouns are the part of speech that substitutes for nouns or noun phrases and designates persons or things asked for, previously specified, or understood from the context. For example, he, she, and it are pronouns. Singular pronoun referring to one person. His, hers, its are singular genitive or possessive pronouns. They, them, their are plural pronouns. In this final judgment scene, there are lots of pronouns we and you. And what do those pronouns mean? The we get. The first person singular is I. The first person plural is we, us. What about you? What about you? As in, I was hungry and you gave me food. And you, go over there. You, go over there. Is there one or more than one you? It's the same word, and it's a new problem. In the King James Version, you could tell, in King James language, thou was the singular, as in, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ye is the plural, as in, God rest ye, merry gentlemen. And Jesus here says, I'm going to let you into heaven. Does he mean one at a time? No. And the King James has ye throughout. It's a plural. We're going to go in as a group. Now let's talk about nouns, shall we? Goats and sheep. What word do you use to refer to a single cow? That's easy. Cow. What about plural? Well, you just add S and you have cows. What about sheep? What do you call single sheep? Sheep. If you have a whole flock of them, what do you call them? Same word. So, when Jesus, the righteous judge, speaks to us, he speaks to us as a group. The you is plural, and sheep is plural. We're going to go in as a group. You know, language is always changing, and any change comes from the people who speak that language. And I think we're currently trying to reestablish a distinction between you, singular, and you, plural. Like, do you ever use the term you guys? You guys? Or you people? I talk about you people. And I do not talk Southern, y'all. But I did catch Dolly Parton at halftime of the Tennessee game a week ago yesterday. I don't speak Southern, but it seems like the Southern speakers, if you want to speak of a single or many people, you might say, y'all. But if you really want to emphasize more than one, you might say, y'all all. Y'all all. Here, Jesus is talking to y'all all. He's talking to you guys, you sheep, the plural. And this final judgment is in the future. So as you might expect, Jesus is no longer telling us what to do. No longer telling us what not to do. On that day, he's going to be talking about what you did. And by you, I mean y'all all, you guys, the church. People like to buttonhole Christians that they think are hypocrites. They ask the Christians, if you were to stand trial for the crime of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And Jesus is indeed portrayed here by Jesus as a judge who will acquit or convict based on the evidence. But the judge's pronouncement of guilty or not guilty is not based on the evidence of you as an individual, just saying. God will send you, singular, to heaven based on the evidence of what the group has done. The church, we're going to go in as a group. And we Christians of all times and all places will not be surprised when he points out our acts of mercy, is what I call them. We know full well that the Christians are the people who take care of the hungry, who build wells for the thirsty, who take in people who have no place to go, provide clothing for people who have none, tend to the sick, and visit the incarcerated. Those are all things he told us to do. And we have a track record. We have a history. We've been modeling him for 2,000 years. And it shows. And it shows. And the pagans and the atheists model us. Because they don't want you to think that you're better than they are. We are salt. Hungry? Go to the referral center over there. Go to the food pantry over there. Or there's one in Sherrard, and high school students collect food. And the Riverbend warehouse is this time of the year packed to the rafters. You can get water for free around here, or you can pay $2 for a 20-ounce bottle. When I was a child, I remember my church giving money to dig wells in India. And that's where the money from VBS last summer went to dig wells in, I think it was Africa. And I said 10 years ago that it's hard to be hungry in this country. You can still do that. You can still be hungry, but it's harder these days. And if you don't want to be homeless, people around here will build you houses, and they'll give those houses away to people. Which group? Well, I think there are several of them. Those same places that give away food, you can probably score some clothing there, or they can steer you to places where you can. The problem in many African countries is too much clothing. Too much clothing. They're putting the clothing business out of business. And we tend to the sick even if it puts ourselves at risk. In the early church, and we saw this happening a couple years ago, pagans fled the plague. The Christians took care of our own, and they were surprised. Bigger surprise, then we went and took care of their own. And I used to think that part about visiting people in jail meant in case of a person jailed after persecution. I don't think that anymore. I think it just means to visit people in jail. People are in jail are people too. And often those people are Christian people. So this group of sheep listened to those kind words and were not surprised that we have made the world a better place. We are surprised that when we fed, quenched, clothed, sheltered, cared for, visited those people, none of them looked like Jesus. None of them looked like Jesus. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And these are singular, these obviously things singular use. And when did we see you sick in prison and visit you? And listen as he explains to us, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Yeah, they never look like Jesus, do they? In fact, some of them, you never even see them. The judge makes no mention of Christian charity done to the pagans or to the atheists. That's kind of a modern thing. He talks about things done by the group for the people in the group, Christians looking out for Christians. That group is Christians of all times, all places. That's your group. That's your group. And we will hear him say on the last day to you, to your group, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Prepared for you guys. Before he even started this creation, he had in mind that new and better creation, and he will put this wonderful creation to us to shame, that will put this wonderful creation to shame. And then he turns to the other group. There's another group, and he turns to them. It's not that my white socks are better than my black socks. I use the black socks for work, and I use the white socks for play. And there's nothing wrong with goats. We used to have a couple of milk goats, Claire and Heidi. Of course, what else you got to name a couple of milk goats? And it's a lot easier to get milk from a goat than from a sheep. That's like pulling teeth. But since this account of the final judgment, and by that I mean because of it, the goat has indeed become a symbol of Satan. And they're kind of proud of the goat as their symbol. So he turns to that other group. And there is absolutely no evidence of Christianity. No evidence of them having made the world a better place in that bunch. They're likewise surprised. They likewise don't remember ever seeing Jesus and ignoring him, his hunger, his thirst, his nakedness, his lack of a house, his illness, or Jesus and ignoring him. Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did it not to me. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and angels. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So you Cyclone fans, I know you're a Cyclone fan. I see the evidence. I hear the evidence. You put it on Facebook. And the one or two Hawkeye fans here, I can tell that you're Hawkeye fans. There's evidence. But the righteous into eternal life. The righteous. And you know, there's only one way to be truly righteous, to stand before God on the last day claiming your place in a house, and that is to be covered by the perfectness of Christ. And what I mean by that is, you look outside this morning, it all looks white. There's a lot of stuff under the snow. That's what our sins are like, under the snow. And Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection is like the snow. It covers all of our sins. Did you notice that God doesn't see those sins on the last day? He sees our good works. He doesn't see our sins. And the good works that Christians do, that's not what makes us Christians. We are Christians because God, through his church, through word and sacrament, made us to be Christians. And we do good works because we are Christians. And those good works are evidence of that, more or less. And on the last day, he will say, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Come on in. Church, talking to you. You guys, y'all, come. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.